If you would turn to Mark chapter 16. And I want to do something today, just a simple, pretty basic lesson, probably something you've heard a lot, but I think it's good sometimes to go back and reconnect with some truths and some things just to keep us firm, grounded, and I wanted to do that today and see what happens from there. But I want to look in Mark chapter 16, there's verse here, and a lot of people, the verse here would rather that these verses not be in the Bible because it causes problems for them. And in fact, I imagine that you know that they would rather these verses not be here, but they're here, and we have to be able to understand why they're here and what it's saying to us. But in Mark chapter 16. Notice verse 15, and to give you the context here, this is the last words that Jesus has given to his disciples. If you go to the end of Matthew, the end of Mark, the end of Luke, the very last words that Christ says, it is also where you find Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 starts at the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it just continues. And we're going to look at that, but notice in verse 15, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." There's some shalls here. There's some things that are going to follow these believers. And it has to do with they're going to cast out devils. They're going to speak with tongues. They're going to take up serpents. If they drink poison, it's not going to hurt them. And they lay hands on the sick, and they recover. Now, read on down verse 19. "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord, working with them and confirming the word with signs following." So there were signs that were following them. They were preaching the gospel. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And so you find this verse a lot of times, verse 15, you'll see it in just a standalone verse, and it'll be people, you know, this is what we're to do. This is our commands. This is the last thing the Lord told us to do before he ascended up into heaven, is to go preach the gospel to every creature. But then they don't read verse 16 and verse 17 and verse 18, because that throws a monkey wrench in. Well, this gospel that he's telling them to preach obviously has to do with signs, but it also has to do with baptism. So this gospel that we find here in Mark chapter 16 has to do with baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And it has to do with signs. Notice in what else it has to do with. Look over in Matthew chapter 28. In verse Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So this is a parallel verse to Mark chapter 16. And so they're to preach the gospel. They're also, baptism is mentioned here again. And there's a teaching ministry as well to teach them to do all the things whatsoever I've commanded you to do. So in this gospel, they're to teach the things that Christ commanded in Matthew through John. So you would follow the doctrine not only with the gospel of this be found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but also the doctrine, the teaching, the way in which they're to live is found in what Christ told them to do. Whatsoever things I have commanded you to do, teach them to observe and do. So this gospel, look over in chapter 24 and find out a little bit more about this gospel. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 13. Matthew chapter 24. Well, let's see. I'm just going to jump in there. The context here in Matthew chapter 24 is this 7-year tribulation period and all the bad things that are going to happen to them. And in verse 13, notice he says, But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. So he that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So this gospel also had to do with enduring unto the end. And we know now that this gospel has a name, and that is called the gospel of the kingdom. So I'm going to erase Mark 16 here. And this is called the gospel of the kingdom. And it has to do with believing and being baptized. It has to do with signs. There's teaching that's found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we also know that there's something that they have to endure unto. They have to endure unto the end. It's a struggle. It's something they have to get through and get to the end. And we're going to maybe look at that a little bit later. But I want to look at some more about this gospel. Because you see, the thing that people miss and the reason that Mark 16 is such a problem for people is because they think that it's all the same gospel. So they think that people think that the doctrine that you find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is directly to us, and therefore when you get a verse like Mark 16, verse 17, that says that people will take up serpents and drink deadly poison, it won't hurt them, and lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed, they get confused and they don't understand. Why is that? Why am I not doing that? Why don't I have that power? Or then, if nothing else, they see some charlatan on TV who claims he can do all these things and they send him a bunch of money. And so we have to understand that to rightly divide the word of truth, you understand that the gospel that Jesus is talking about in Mark 16 and Matthew chapter 28 is not the gospel that we preach today. Look back in Matthew chapter 3, and let's look at this gospel. Let's see when it was first proclaimed that we can find in the Bible in Matthew chapter 3. Notice verse 1, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So what's he preaching? He's preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." Verse 3, "For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." So he's preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." So I'm going to add this here, repentance. And again, he's baptizing. Remember Mark chapter 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned." Notice what he says here, and see how this matches up in verse 7. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Remember the wrath, we didn't read about it, but in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is warning them about wrath. "And he that endureth unto the end shall be saved." Well, John's talking about wrath here, and he said, "Who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Notice what he tells them to do in verse 8. "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Notice he tells them to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. What fruit would that be? That would be baptism. John preached the baptism of repentance. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. We're going to see that. In fact, before we do that, I want to compare something here. He's preaching, "Repent and be baptized," or "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." Turn over a chapter to chapter 4. And I want to make sure that you understand that John the Baptist's gospel that he's preaching in Matthew chapter 3 is the same gospel that Jesus is preaching and the same gospel the disciples preached throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look in verse 17 of chapter 4. "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Same thing John the Baptist is preaching, right? Look down to verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." So he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." He's healing people. There's the signs that we read about in Matthew chapter 16. It's all the same thing. Well, you say, well, what about baptism? Was Jesus baptizing too? Well, yeah. Let's look at, turn to John. Look in John chapter 3. Notice verse 22, John 3:22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples unto the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. So Jesus is baptizing, and John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was so much water there, and they came and were baptized. They were baptized, and there was a lot of water there. Look, chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. So now, by chapter 4, the disciples are doing it. But what my point here is it's all, they're all doing the same thing, and it has to do with this gospel of the kingdom, and it has to do with repentance under baptism. Look back to Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 3. In Luke chapter 3, notice verse, John the Baptist here in verse 3. Luke 3, verse 3. And he came, and this is John in the wilderness, John the Baptist, and he came unto all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He's preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. All right. So they're repenting, they're baptizing, and it's for the remission of sins. This is preached throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the last thing that Jesus tells them is that they're going to go into all the world and preach this gospel. And he says in Matthew chapter 24 that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached unto all the world, and then shall the end come. You see, the thing that we've talked about, Daddy's talked about the last few weeks, is there's only one more week of prophecy left to be fulfilled. And that's a 7-year period. So this gospel of the kingdom be preached in all the world, and the end come. So that, as far as prophecy goes, as far as God dealing with this gospel of the kingdom, that's all. So you get to Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. And I told you this was just going to be simple, basic stuff, but, you know, sometimes pinto beans and cooked cabbage is good to eat, you know? It's simple, but it's good. In Acts chapter 1, you have the very same time period as Mark chapter 16, as Matthew chapter 28. This is Jesus and his last words, and then he's ascended up into heaven. Alright, he's ascended up to heaven, and he tells the disciples, notice verse 5, Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They're all about the kingdom. They're all about the gospel of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. They are kingdom-minded people, because that's their hope. That's what their hope is. That's what they're waiting for. But notice Jesus says in verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. All right, this is the same time period, the same exact event as Matthew 28, Mark 16, because notice this. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So he's gone up. They're to preach the gospel. But he says they're going to have to wait. He tells them to wait, and they're going to receive power from on high. They're going to get they're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And they're going to be endued with power to do. Jesus told them that, I'm going to go away, but I'll send the Comforter unto you. He's going to send the Holy Ghost to indwell them, to give them the power to continue this ministry. You see, this gospel to be preached, the kingdom of heaven has to be at hand. God has to be in it. That's why John the Baptist began to preach this. You know, the prophets of old didn't preach this gospel. Jesus Christ was not on the earth at the time, nor was the Holy Ghost on the earth in this ministry. So Jesus leaves, and the Holy Ghost comes down and endues them with power to continue this, because they have to have the signs. They have to have the things that confirm this message, because the Jews require a sign. So you get to Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Ghost falls on them. They are baptized with the Holy Ghost. They have power. And Peter stands up after he gets this power, and he begins to preach. And he begins to preach, notice in chapter 2, verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs." He was approved of them. Why? Because he did these signs. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. "Which God by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up." Peter said, you killed him. You crucified the Lord. You crucified your Messiah. You crucified your King. But God raised him up. And they hear this message, and he begins to preach this message unto them. And notice verse 37. Well, let's go to verse 36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were pricked. They were convicted. Oh no, we really did mess up. We really did crucify the Son of God. What can we do? Is there anything we can do? And what does Peter offer them? Does he say, well, if you'll believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of your sins and was buried and rose again for your justification, you can be saved. Not what he said, was it? Very next verse. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which will then endue them to have the signs. Same gospel, nothing new. The only thing now is there's a promise of the Holy Ghost there, which was not in play until Acts chapter 2. So, gospel of the kingdom. Now, quickly, turn over to Romans chapter 16. Take Romans 16 and Galatians chapter 1. And I'll finish up here for today. Romans 16 and Galatians chapter 1. In Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, on and on. Multitudes. The Bible says multitudes, thousands of people received this gospel of the kingdom and was baptized. I mean, it was rolling. You read about it. It was multitudes. It was thousands. It was rolling. Lots of people throughout, since the beginning of John, way back in John chapter or Matthew chapter 3, throughout Jesus' ministry, and now after His death and burial and resurrection, are continuing to hear this message. But something changed, and this man named Paul began to preach a different gospel. How do you know it's different? Well, we're not going to get into all that today, but just look at what Paul says about the gospel he's preaching. Look in Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Paul calls it my gospel. After multitudes and multitudes had believed the gospel of the kingdom and it had been preached for years, and now all of a sudden Paul's going to stand up and say, it's my gospel. This had been hid. Look what he says in Galatians chapter 1. In verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, if Paul's preaching the same gospel as Peter and all the other ones, Paul is the most egotistical, prideful man you could ever think of to think that he discovered this gospel was just his alone when multitudes of other people had already believed it. It's not the same gospel. It's a different gospel. And the gospel that Paul preached was revealed specifically to him. He says so right here in Galatians chapter 1. And this gospel is in look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll look at, maybe next time we'll go into this a little bit more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, and we know he received it by revelation of Jesus Christ, not by a man. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. His death, dying for our sins, His resurrection for our justification. All of these things were things that Paul began to preach and was revealed to him by the Lord Jesus Christ by revelation. It wasn't a murder indictment. It wasn't blaming the Jews, as Peter's was, which that's what he was supposed to preach. What Peter was preaching was what Jesus told him to preach. He had a program. God cut that program off and began to preach to us today in the dispensation of grace, the gospel of the grace of God that is available to all. It doesn't matter if you come from Israel. It doesn't matter where you come from or who you are. The gospel of Christ today is to everybody, and it is that Jesus Christ died for all of your sins. And He's not imputing your sins unto you right now. He's imputing His righteousness unto you. And if you will simply trust Him, believing that He died on the cross for your sins, He will save you right now where you are. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to repent of all of your sins. You don't have to endure until the end. You don't have to have signs. You don't have to have anything other than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And if you trust that today, you can be saved. If you're saved, you need to rightly divide the word of truth and understand the ministries and the various things that are going on there in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Acts. Okay? All right, we'll stop there for now and take a break.